Scriptures this evening to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read first of all from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to read the entire chapter, especially pay attention to the last three verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Solomon's an old man now, and he calls himself a preacher or a teacher. And as an old man, the king, from his experience, is going to teach. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, neither thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Then we turn to the last book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We begin reading at verse 8 and read through the end of the chapter. And we'll make reference to all of the different verses here, but the text is especially verse 12 and the last part of verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the words that we want to understand this evening, especially at the second part of verse 12, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weary. Children, boys and girls, I want you to listen. The day after tomorrow, you're going back to school. Are you eager for that? Are you excited about going back to school? Not just because you're going to see your friends, but because you're going to learn and study and be taught. Are you interested in that? Or do you feel like what Solomon says here, of many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh? Does it make you tired to think of going back to school? And young people, when you go to high school or college, are you eager? Are you eager to learn? Or do you feel that this is weariness to the flesh? It is a lot of hard work, isn't it? Going to school and paying attention for so long. And in the coming weeks, sitting long days in hot classrooms and having to pay attention, and then remembering all the fun things you did in the summer and you can't do them anymore. It's hard work, isn't it? Tonight, from the Word of God, I want to encourage you to be enthusiastic about going back to school. And that's because to be enthusiastic about going back to school. And that's because you go to a Christian school, and because as you learn, you get to do that from the point of view of the Bible. God has given us a book, His book, which helps us to see and to understand everything and how it all fits together in this world. And God is omniscient. That is, God knows everything. And so God in His book gives us everything that we need to know to understand this world. And so, children, you have the key to understanding this world. And so you should be enthusiastic and ready and excited to study. In chapter 1, Solomon says, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." He's talking about curiosity, about wanting to learn, wanting to see, and wanting to hear more. And the child of God should have an eye and an ear like that for God's world, and an enthusiasm to learn about it. And of course, tonight, not only do children need to be encouraged, but teachers and parents also need to be encouraged in this great work. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it, teachers? You think, well, I never feel ready. You know that. And you know that when Tuesday comes, it's going to be for the teaching of the children that are in your care. And parents, there's the financial aspect, the tuition. And then there's mothers getting up early in the morning and making lunches for all the children and getting them out the door and ushering them back into the house at the end of the day and hearing all their stories and trying to get all their homework done and dealing with not only the behavior problems but the poor attitude in the children. Not only the behavior problems but the poor attitude in the children. How do you feel about going back to school? Are you enthusiastic? Tonight, from the Word of God, we need to be encouraged in this important calling, the teaching of our children, and especially the teaching of our children in the Christian schools. And we want to do that tonight from the words of the text as we seek to understand them. Our theme tonight will be the endlessness and weariness of study. And we'll notice three things. First, the vanity of most study. Second, the key to profitable study. And then third, an encouragement to diligent study. Now it's important as we look at the words at the end of verse 12 and try to understand them that we put them in their context, in the context of the chapter, in the context of the book, and in the context of the life of Solomon, and even in the context of the world in which we live. These are perhaps some of the most misquoted words in all of Scripture. A person writes a book, and there are 10 or a dozen other books, or hundreds of other books already written on the subject, and someone is bound to say, of making many books, there is no end. Another person decides to go to college and to get a degree in a particular area of study to prepare themselves for a particular vocation in life. And somebody is bound to say, much study is weariness of the flesh. But we should see tonight as we begin that these words are not some kind of biblical, all learning and all study is vanity. That we have to understand at the beginning. This is not a proof for anti-intellectualism. In fact, these words are written by a man who himself spent his entire life studying and learning. That's the point that Solomon makes in chapter 1, verses 13 and following. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Verses 13 and following. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And think back earlier in the chapter in what we read. Solomon understood some amazing things. He understood the cycles of the wind. The wind returneth again according to its circuits. He must have studied weather and weather patterns. He studied the river and evaporation. He studied all kinds of subjects of science and every area of life under the sun. Later in the chapter he says, Solomon was a very learned man himself. And in fact, when Solomon comes to the very end of his life, it's evident that Solomon, who had also acquired for himself much power in the earth and riches and established a great kingdom and empire and had much pleasure in life, found that the thing that was of most value to him was his knowledge. Look at verse 9. This is really Solomon's of most value to him was his knowledge. Look at verse 9. This is really Solomon talking about his retirement years. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. There you have the old man Solomon. Now he's done with his riches and his power and his empire and his labor. You see all that in the book of Ecclesiastes. But there's one thing he's still doing, and it's gathering together proverbs from the things that he's learned so that he can teach the people. He puts a premium on knowledge and study here. He teaches. And so, this is not an argument against studying as though it's wrong. Rather, we should see these words as a warning against wasting our efforts in studying and learning and reading and teaching. The words of the text are a warning against wasting our efforts in these things. Because here in the verse and in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is evaluating things as he saw them earlier in his life. He's evaluating them as he looked at the world in chapter 1. He looked at everything under the sun. He saw the boundaries of his existence and the boundaries of his knowledge as the things that could be seen under the sun, the physical world. And Solomon is saying, yes, this is what it is. It's endless. And it's weariness to the flesh. Life under the sun is vanity. Verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Now we know something about the life of Solomon. You know that Solomon, as a very young man, was a pious young man. He was well taught in his father's house, and when he became king, he desired wisdom from the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord. And he understood who God was. Just think of the dedication of the temple and the great statement of truth and faith of Solomon there. We built this house, but the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. He knew God. And he was a man of prayer. The longest prayer recorded in the Bible was Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. But Solomon increased in riches and pleasure and wives. And we know that he also went through a period of life of spiritual decline, a long period of departure. And during all that time, Solomon didn't give up on his pursuit of knowledge. He tried to find the meaning of life. He studied. He built an empire. He acquired wealth. He learned everything that there was to know about the world in which he lived. He studied hard. And now at the end of his life, his conclusion about life under the sun, as he lived it during those years of departure from the ways of the Lord, his conclusion is, all is vanity. He didn't see his life as under God. He saw his life under the sun. And he never found fulfillment. He never saw the purpose and the meaning of life. All of it, as he pursued it, he found to be vanity. You can build an empire. You can become the most knowledgeable and the richest person in the earth. You can become the most powerful and the most influential person in the earth. And Solomon looks at it and he says, but you're going to die. And you might name a city after you, and they'll ask 100 years later, who was that man? You'll be forgotten. All is vanity. As you live in this world without the consciousness of God, as you live under the sun. That's the way to understand the text here. And Solomon applies that idea of the vanity of everything in life to learning and to writing books and to studying without God in view. To the writing of books, there's no end. And much study is weariness to the flesh. Think now, not just of what Solomon did during his life, but think now of all the books that have been written in this world. I read a New York Times article this week. 10,000 fiction books are published every year in the United States. That's one every 30 minutes. And that's only fiction. Think of all the subjects of learning and all the thousands of books that have been written on all those areas of knowledge. And think of all the people who are putting words on paper every day. Newspapers and magazines and literature and things on the internet. Those areas of knowledge. And think of all the people who are putting words on paper every day. Newspapers and magazines and literature and things on the internet. All that writing, to the writing of books, there is no end. One author called it the insanity of humanity. Man always putting words together to try to understand where it's going and what's my purpose here in this world. And to the making of many books, there is no end. You only have to walk into a small municipal library like the one across the street here. And look at all the books. Imagine trying to read them all. Imagine. And that's just a tiny fraction of all the volumes of books that have been written in this world. It's endless. And look at all the books. Imagine trying to read them all. Imagine. And that's just a tiny fraction of all the volumes of books that have been written in this world. It's endless. It is. Of making many books, there is no end. And then think of all the people in the world that apply themselves to try to understand the things that have been written and to study the world in which we live, to try to understand it. Much study is weary day after day. Study and study and study. Think of all the courses and all the subject majors in a typical college. And all the learning on one campus. And then think of it not just in our world, but the world over and history long. Much study, much study. All trying to understand and define and give purpose to life under the sun. And then think of it not just in our world, but the world over and history long. Much study, much study. All trying to understand and define and give purpose to life under the sun. And all weariness, he says, wearisome to the flesh. And he means it's all pointless and it's all futile so long as it limits itself to this world. There's no meaning to it all. There are no answers. That's what Solomon means. An intellectual understanding that excelled most college graduates. And he had learned all about the world and politics and history, but he wasn't emotionally mature enough to handle that knowledge. And so he'd hear about the poverty in another part of the world, and it would drive him into depression. Because the more you know, the more grief it brings. Much study is wearisome to the flesh. And so this text is a warning. It's a warning to follow, not to follow every path of knowledge and every new philosophy that comes along. You don't need to understand everything that there is in this world. And it's not so beneficial to do that. But there's something that you must understand. And that's there in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the important thing. That's not to say that we shouldn't learn and we can't learn in all these different fields of study, but without the fear of the Lord, it is all, as Solomon says, vanity and endless and wearisome. The wisdom of this world, Paul says, is foolishness to God. Man must die. And what will he have for all that? God will bring, verse 14, every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Man must die and stand before God the judge. And what's the value of it all? And this is a warning especially for the young. Solomon says in chapter 1 that the eye is not satisfied with seeing and the ear filled with hearing. And he's speaking to his son Rehoboam here. He knows something about the character of a young person. This world has so much to offer, and there's so much that you can get a hold of and get for yourself in this world. But it's not all helpful. Ear filled with hearing. And he's speaking to his son Rehoboam here. He knows something about the character of a young person. This world has so much to offer, and there's so much that you can get a hold of and get for yourself in this world. But it's not all helpful. It's not all good. And Solomon's applying that here to study and to reading and to knowledge. Sure, there's so much you can learn. There's so much you can study. That isn't necessarily good for you, just to get and accumulate all that learning and that knowledge for yourself. It's vain. Life isn't just about satisfying curiosity or getting ahead. And Solomon issues this warning because he understands something of the power of words and the power of books and the power of communication. You find that in verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And literally it's delightful words. Words that were attractive. Words that were winsome. interesting. Those are the kinds of words that an author wants to use. You think of, for example, the history of literature and some of the great authors, page turners, classics. An author wants delightful words to put on paper. Solomon did that in his writing too, in the book of Proverbs. But think especially of the Song of Solomon. What a piece of literature it is. Artful, attractive. Draws you into study and to understand it, and it's only one of the many songs that Solomon wrote. He sought to find delightful words. But there has to be a balance. That's Solomon's point here. At the end of verse 10, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Unless you write truth, no matter how delightful your words and what a page turner you write, it's worthless. And he's saying something delightful words. But there has to be a balance. That's Solomon's point here. At the end of verse 10, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Unless you write truth, no matter how delightful your words and what a page turner you write, it's worthless. And he's saying something there about reading too. It's vanity, it's empty, if it doesn't contain truth and lead to truth. So it's all vanity if it's limited to the physical. So what's the key then to profitable study? And we've really touched on this already, but the key is, first of all, the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In verse 13, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon begins in chapter 1 by talking about what he did his whole life long and keep his commandments. And unless our learning and unless our reading and teaching and educating is motivated by the fear of God, life not under the sun, but life under God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, it will all be vanity. That must be first. You can write, you can study, you can learn, but if you ignore God, then all your learning and writing and knowledge and study is empty and vain and worthless. Think about that. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. We must all stand before God. Think about that. Standing before God the judge, God omniscient, God all wise. Someday will be these people from this world who seemed so wise, the great philosophers and artists and scientists and psychologists and historians and mathematicians, the Aristotles and the Socrates and the Einsteins, and they're all going to stand before God. Going to bring all their works into judgment. What's he going to say to the wise of this world? You knew all that? You understood all that about my world? And you ignored me? And then standing before the judgment seat of God are also going to be some unlearned people, children, who died before they received education, to judgment. What's he going to say to the wise of this world? You knew all that? You understood all that about my world? And you ignored me? And then standing before the judgment seat of God are also going to be some unlearned people, children who died before they received education, converted heathens, people who barely had an education and could barely read or write, but went through life with a childlike trust in God and His Word, and were people of prayer and faith. What's going to stand before God? Well, not the learning and the wisdom and the knowledge of this world. And that's why you see it's all vanity and it's all weariness to the flesh. It avails nothing beyond the grave. But this does, that we fear God, that we keep His commandments, that we have a faith, a childlike faith in the words which, according to verse 11, are given from one shepherd, one source of truth. What's the one source of truth? Well, it's not Solomon, but it's God, who moved holy men, who wrote the words of God down on paper in the Scriptures for us. This is truth. This is truth. And you see here in the passage the high value that the saints in the... What's the one source of truth? Well, it's not Solomon, but it's God, who moved holy men, who wrote the words of God down on paper in the Scriptures for us. This is truth. This is truth. And you see here in the passage the high value that the saints in the Old Testament put on the written Word of God. We think of the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, instruction, reproof, and so on. But they had that in the Old Testament as well. Solomon, in verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth, that which was written. The Scriptures. He's talking about the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And it came from the one shepherd God who breathed it out. You see the doctrine of divine inspiration of Scripture there. That's the source of truth. That's the key to all knowledge. Right here. Truth established. Truth to be studied. Truth to be sought out and discovered and applied. This, the Word of God in the Scriptures. This is the key to all knowledge. This is the key to all wisdom. God's Word in the Scriptures. And if our study takes us away from the Scriptures, if our study causes us to question or ignore the Scriptures, if our study leads us on another path than the Word of God, it's vain and it's empty and it's weariness and it's worthless. You see, the Scriptures have to be first in all our learning. And that's why we want a Christian education for our children. The knowledge of God is the key to unlock and understand all the mysteries of the world in which we live. The Word of God is the key to give the answers to the many questions that this world poses. The scientists and the mathematicians and the historians can provide us with a lot of stuff to learn. And it's good to learn it. But unless we see it through the eyes of Scripture, it's all vanity and emptiness. Calvin said of the Scriptures, they are the spectacles through which we must view the world. And all our book writing and reading is empty and wearisome and leads to the grave. And what profit is there beyond death in a man's knowledge and learning? And that means the Christian school and the Christian education must be founded on the Word of God. The Word of God must take primary place in the Christian school. Not simply as one textbook alongside other textbooks. Not simply one subject Bible alongside other subjects like history and math and so on. But the foundation for education in every area and every department of knowledge. That's the Word of God. All the principles are here. You're going to learn about mathematics. You have to do it from the point of view of the Scripture and God Himself and the orderliness of His own being and the creation that He's made. You're going to learn science. You have to do it from the point of view of Scripture and God the Creator. And this is His marvelous world. The heavens declare His glory. And I don't care what science says. God is the Creator. And so with every area of knowledge, the Scriptures must be the foundation, the beginning. They're the key to profitable study. Now that's very easy to say, but it's much more difficult to do. And it means that we must have teachers who are not only committed to the Word of God, but know the Word of God. They're acquainted with it. They live out of it. With every area of knowledge, the Scriptures must be the foundation. The beginning, they're the key to profitable study. Now that's very easy to say, but it's much more difficult to do. And it means that we must have teachers who are not only committed to the Word of God, but know the Word of God. They're acquainted with it. They live out it. They know how to draw examples from the Word of God into their teaching. Will bring. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails. A goad is a cattle prod. The words of the wise are like that. They're like a cattle prod, that sharp stick that pokes into the back leg of a great big animal to correct it and to direct it in a certain way. Think of that. A big, strong, stubborn animal and a small child with a sharp stick. And the child is able to learn to handle that animal. The wise teacher is like that. He comes with words that are sometimes sharp, that point in a particular way, that direct and correct. Those are the words that come from the Scripture, God's Word. God's Word is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. It corrects. It corrects the thinking of our corrupt nature. It corrects the behavior in our lives, that our teachers need to be people, that animal. The wise teacher is like that. He comes with words that are sometimes sharp, that point in a particular way, that direct and correct. Those are the words that come from the Scripture, God's Word. God's Word is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. It corrects. It corrects the thinking of our corrupt nature. It corrects the behavior in our lives, that our teachers need to be people who bring the Word of God like that to bear in their teaching and on the children's lives and behavior in the school. And then also, the words of the wise are like nails fastened. Now you have here another sharp metal object. But the idea is a little different here. The idea is of nails driven in, fastened so that they don't move. And the idea is that the words of the wise teacher, which are founded on the Word of God, truth is like a nail driven in that doesn't move. Think of a nail perhaps in your basement, driven into the rafters. And you don't know how long it's been there. Maybe you live in a house that your parents once owned and that nail was there for as long as you can remember. And you've hung things on it, you've swung on it as a child, and it's still there, stuck in the rafters. The words of the wise are like that. God's Word is like that. It's like a nail that pierces. You know that from Hebrews 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp, piercing. The Word of God is like a nail that pierces not only, but it sticks. And the children really don't know anything for certain. And that's the world that we live in. That's not Christian education. Christian education brings the Word of God and its principles, which are immovable, and they're driven into the heart through diligent teaching. And they stick. They don't change. The words of the wise are like that. Sure, tried, strong, sharp, true. That's a good teacher. One who takes the Word of God like that. Uses it to correct. And uses it to teach truth and principles. Boys and girls, you must be ready when you go to school this year to be corrected by your teachers. You must be ready to learn something from a biblical point of view that's different than what you thought. That's different than your sinful nature tells you. Because God's words are true and sure. Parents, you should stand behind the teachers and their correction and their teaching. Otherwise, you ruin your children. Then the nails are driven in and you wiggle them and they fall out. Nothing sticks. You must stand behind the Christian education of your children. Because God's words are true and sure. Parents, you should stand behind the teachers and their correction and their teaching. Otherwise, you ruin your children. Then the nails are driven in and you wiggle them and they fall out. Nothing sticks. You must stand behind the Christian education of your children. He understands nothing of this world and its purpose and where it's going and where it came from and why man is here. It's empty. But you see, with the Word of God, you know. We know. This is the key. And the key is there, especially in what the Bible has to say about sin and grace, about man's fall into sin and Jesus the Savior, about God's purpose for man in his original creation, that he might live to glorify God. And saying here is vanity. It finds nothing. It understands nothing of this world and its purpose and where it's going and where it came from and why man is here. It's empty. But you see, with the Word of God, you know. We know. This is the key. And the key is there, especially in what the Bible has to say about sin and grace, about man's fall into sin and Jesus the Savior, about God's purpose for man in his original creation, that he might live to glorify God. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You see, you have the key, not just to knowledge, but the key to living in this world. What an exciting endeavor. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is my Father's world. And so as I learn through the eyes of Scripture, I come more and more to know God, my Maker and Savior. And then also, I want to encourage you tonight by seeing that this is a worthwhile endeavor. And it's a worthwhile endeavor because it has to do with the souls of your children. That's covenant education. The souls of the children. So that they don't live just under the sun, but they live in the fear of God. And so teachers and parents and children, next time you feel like your studies are wearisome and endless and tiring, think beyond the sun to God, the Creator of all. And think beyond the flesh to your soul and the souls of your children. And study won't be wearisome. It won't be endless. May God bless our Christian schools in this coming year. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for minds and knowledge and understanding and discovery, for those who are committed to teaching our children, for Thy Word, which is the key to all knowledge. Give us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. We sing number 246. May God bless our Christian schools in this coming year. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for minds and knowledge and understanding and discovery, for those who are committed to teaching our children, for Thy Word, which is the key to all knowledge. Give us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.